The show's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's your connection to local music and more. And on the first part of the show, we'll be talking with bassist and pianist Tim Green, who's going to be performing with his quartet, Jazz, tonight at Zorba's in Campustown, Champaign, at 9 o'clock. And then the second part, we'll talk with Charmian Bully, who's director of the Central Illinois Children's Chorus, and also Audrey Valance, who is one of the directors of their first annual opera camp, which is going to be this summer. But the choruses in the program are giving their spring concert on Saturday in Champaign. We'll hear about that as well. It's all coming up on Live and Local. By way of introduction of sorts, that was Charles Mingus, the great jazz bassist, in a tune called Dizzy Moods. He was joined by Clarence Shaw on a trumpet, Jimmy Nepper, the trombonist, Shafi Hadi, also known as Curtis Porter, on saxophone, Bill Triglia, assuming that's how he says his name. Any idea, Tim?
Sure about that.
Piano, Danny Richmond drums, Frankie Dunlop, the percussionists, Isabel Morrill, but she wasn't involved in that one, and other folks not involved in that one because they're vocalists. And you heard that in Live and Local here on FM 90.9, where our broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners, Provena Medical Group, Risk Management Commodities of Lafayette, Springfield Electric of Springfield. These business partners join the Friends of WYLL in making great programs possible, and we thank you very much for your support. Tim Green used to hang around Champaign-Urbana a while ago. He got his bachelor's degree at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston and is now living up in Chicago, yes?
Yes.
And is back for a performance this week, this evening with the Tim Green Quartet at Zorba's on Green Street, their weekly Thursday jazz session. That's at 9 o'clock, and we appreciate you coming in the studio.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, a pleasure. You brought a boatload of CDs. We're going to sample some of those, which is very nice, and thanks for that contribution.
Absolutely.
Tell me what you've been up to. Quite a bit, it appears.
Well, you know, a lot can happen in 10 years, and it's hard to believe that it's been 10 years.
Since you were in Champaign.
Since I moved out of Champaign.
Wow.
But I was here for six, and have been in Chicago since 2000 and moved up with guitarist Brian Wilkie, who was born and raised here. And,
right.
Yeah,
and he used to play here all the time. Now that you mention it,
yeah.
I haven't heard his name for a while.
Well, he's keeping busy himself in Chicago. And, of course, the last couple of years have been a little different just because the economy has slowed down quite a bit and a lot of work kind of across the board for every industry has slowed down. So it's a little different now, but, you know, there's still venues to play and still people getting together and playing. And I've talked to Brian pretty frequently. We roomed together for a number of years after moving up there, and then I got married, and he still remains a very close friend.
Is the issue that clubs are closing down or that they're just not hiring players as much?
Both of those, and there's actually a couple of notable and surprising closures that that happened recently. One of them was the famous Pump Room, which was home
to
the
fancy restaurant.
Yes, the hotel that was featured in North by Northwest, and
wow,
and that's where when the Rat Pack would come to town.
So the whole place closed.
Well, the whole place didn't close, but they stopped their music policy.
Wow,
and they've had a music policy there for decades and decades. Mm. It's just a pretty major blow to live music and live jazz because that was a if you could point at something and say, this is the rock, this is the pillar, the cornerstone of the scene. If there's not live music there, you can't really count on it being anywhere. And that was a pretty big one. That made the newspapers up there when that happened. You know, clubs come and go in a city that size, and you just don't know anything about it. But a place like that of that stature is a little more surprising. And then also, the Odyssey cruise ship, which did dinner cruises on Lake Michigan nightly for the last 22 years. And when they started out, they had four bands working a night, or at least three, you know, plus the outside deck. And I worked on that boat for a number of years as a pianist and also a bassist. And, you know, on any given night, you might see 17 musicians working. And it was a full-time job for a lot of us. And just this year, they fired the director, the music director. And it's not a good scene. And also...
So they just cut out that program as well?
What they did was they started moving more to DJs and then hiring more amateur acts that wouldn't charge as much money. And this was something that was, you know, covering all the living expenses for a lot of musicians full-time for over 20 years. So that was kind of a surprise and a blow. And then another one of note is Philander's in Oak Park, which was a venue that I actually had the honor of working with Donnie Heitler and Ron Dewar a couple of times, and Eric Schneider on different occasions. We were in a rotation there, and so Donnie came up, I think, a couple of times.
And, of course, Donnie's an Urbana resident.
Yeah, and a mentor to pretty much everyone that's ever come through here personally and musically. And it's just it's sad to see the venues closing down and or stopping. That one actually became a sports bar. And to add insult to injury, if you walk out of what used to be Philander's and across the hotel lobby, there's another sports bar.
As if we need more.
Well, on a cold winter day, you don't necessarily want to walk outside to get from sports bar to sports bar. So maybe that was the thinking.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. Wow. So the issue is that the venues can't afford to pay the musicians, basically. Not that people aren't coming to hear it, or is
I think
it
there's a
little
low? There's a lot of factors. And, you know, this is something that we all think about quite a bit, I'm sure. But the thing that strikes me is that the trends seem to be changing, too. The demographic for listening to jazz music is aging, or it's leveling out. You know, they've taken polls, and they're starting to resemble, for the jazz audience, is starting to resemble the classical audience.
That's what I was just thinking, because that's something you hear about classical all the time. Oh, it's getting older, it's getting older. It just is always old
Sure. For
classical, but has that not been true for jazz?
Well, it's changing a little bit. As you know, the difference being that the pioneers of the jazz movement from the 40s and 30s and 40s, 50s, some of them are still alive. You know, Ira Sullivan is still around. Von Freeman is still around. There's some of these guys that are there's a big list of guys that are still alive, but they're also passing away.
You're talking about Chicago folks, or just
internationally. The pioneers are, some of them are still around, but a lot of them are passing on from old age. And as this happens, and as the demographic just continues to age, and also with technology and the way people are listening to music is changing. For instance, now we were talking earlier about MP3s versus CDs, and when you talk to people about vinyl, it's just a different sort of crowd that you're talking to when you reminisce about what it was like listening to vinyl records.
And we've still got a bunch of those here.
Yeah, well, then nothing sounds as good to those of us who like that sound. But the number of people and just the demographic is all changing. So I think that the economy is a factor. I think that the shift in musical tastes, the generational thing, I think that's a factor. And I certainly think that the availability of the ease of technology that makes it easier for people not to hire a band, but to have a DJ or recorded music instead. And that's just cheaper. And people are worried about money, and people are choosing to go with smaller groups or no live music at all, or, you know.
And yet, there's lots of young people getting involved in jazz.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not exactly an old guy.
No.
And the university here is turning out a lot of young jazz musicians. And so it's good to know that you're at least finding work and putting out some CDs. You brought along some samples. We might as well hear one of them.
Sure.
A few of them. Well, we'll start with one. You picked one off of the self-titled CD. Well, it's the title track off of the CD called Catching Yourself Gracefully. This is your own composition?
Yes, this was a composition I wrote in 2002, I think, and went into the studio with Jim Cox and Phil Gratteau. And I had a small number of originals that we just recorded that day and then did a couple standards, and we had a nice sounding recording. So we shopped it around just a little bit and ended up on Origin Records out in Seattle. So this is the title track.
And it's Tim Green on piano. You're going to be playing bass tonight.
I'll be playing upright bass tonight, correct.
And Jim Cox is bass on this CD, and Phil Grateau is the drummer. Tune Catching Yourself Gracefully by Tim Green, who's my guest on Live and Local. Catching Yourself Gracefully, the name of that tune, by Tim Green. And Tim Green, the pianist on the disc, which is called Tim Green, Catching Yourself Gracefully, with bassist Jim Cox and drummer Phil Grateau. Tim Green is my guest on Live and Local, and he's bringing his quartet to Zorba's on Green Street in Campus Town in Champaign. It's just barely in Champaign, I guess, just over the border at Wright Street. And that is tonight at 9 o'clock.
I think the start time is actually 9:30.
Is it 9:30?
Yeah, 9:30.
I thought I said 9 o'clock somewhere, which doesn't mean we didn't get it wrong. Hey, your website says 9 to 12.
Well, you know what? That's you can't listen to me.
Okay. So it might be 9 o'clock, or it might be 9:30.
You have to listen to the version of me that is giving the correct information.
Do we know which one that is?
I have no idea. I've never been able to figure that out.
So it is
9:30.
It is 9:30. Okay. Well, but go there at 9 o'clock anyway. You can get a seat, and you can get some food and stick around for a while, and hear Tim. That's a nice tune.
Well, thank you very much.
Very traditional.
Well, thanks.
Different kinds of
ways. I should mention that Jim Cox and Phil Grateau are both have strong Champaign connections. Jim Cox was born and raised in Champaign, and went to the U of I before he, I think it was in the late 70s or early 80s, he took a gig touring with Father Earl Hines, and then moved to Chicago, and he's been there since. But he was born in Champaign, born and raised here. And Phil went to school here. They were in school at the University of Illinois at the same time and became best friends, and they still are today. And it's wonderful to. There's something about that Champaign sound that you can hear. Anybody that has spent any time here at all, or who knows musicians that spent time here, there's definitely a voice, the Champaign sound.
Can you describe it at all?
It's very earthy, I would say. And this is a little bit like asking me to describe the flavors in wine. I'm not very good with the...
Yeah, no, I can't describe music, so I thought let you struggle.
Push me off. So I would say that the Champaign sound is very organic and earthy.
That should be the Urbana sound.
Well, that both
organic and earthy.
It's they're fairly close to one another.
Yes, I realize, but that's the stereotype.
Right. But there's definitely a very when you hear the way that the music is approached. I mean, there's so many great musicians here. I could start naming them, and then we'd be out of time. And
you'd leave somebody off.
Well, yeah, then that'd be a problem. But
at least you can talk about the ones who have been here and gone. But even then, it's a long list.
Yeah, there's a huge list. That's a bigger list. But the what I hear when people that have tapped into that, who have been through here and tapped into that, or gotten to know the local musicians here and learned something from them, it just seems like there's such a melodic approach to the music. And it's not about rules, and it's not about... always trying to be perfect or competing or anything like that. It just always seems to be about music. And I'm thinking about so many of the people right now that I remember going and hearing, and I just haven't heard anything quite like it.
Hmm.
And I think it's actually pretty wonderful. And to have been able to, you know, when I lived here, I was just starting to play. And I started late. I didn't start playing until I was an adult. So...
meaning really at the end of college, if I remembered reading, right?
Well, sort of in the middle. I was a business major and didn't really play an instrument, noodled a little bit, but didn't play. And then heard Bill Evans one day on vinyl at the library down there, Booth Library at Eastern, and dropped all my business classes and called my dad and told him that I dropped all my business classes. And of course, you know, being whatever I was, 19 or 20 years old, didn't even think about the implications of health insurance or student aid, what that was gonna, dropping below full-time status. But I had a lot of time to go listen to Sunday at the Village Vanguard, which was that Bill Evans record, and was inspired and wanted to learn how to play music. And so that's what I did. I just started working on it then. And when I moved here, I didn't really, as I think Brian Wilkie summed it up best, he talks about people that can't play their way out of a paper bag. Mm-hmm. And that's where I was when I moved here.
Well, did you just start noodling around, or did you get with somebody?
I had some teachers. I actually studied with Mark Maglin at Eastern, who was the jazz piano teacher down there. And then I also studied with a wonderful classical teacher named George Sanders, who I'm getting together with while I'm down here, just to kind of brush up on a few things, because he's always been a friend and mentor. And we can get to this later, but Mark Maglin, my first jazz piano teacher, is on my most recent record, the Trio Cambia, Change of Seasons, and he plays drums and piano on that record. He's a multi-instrumentalist. But it's nice when things come full circle like that. You know, he starts out giving me my first jazz piano lessons, and then some almost 17 years later, he's on a record with me.
Yeah, nice.
It is very nice. It was an honor to that he did that.
Well, and we're going to have to get to other stuff later, meaning next time you come down, because the time has disappeared just like that, as it usually does on here, which is nice. I'm enjoying talking to you.
Oh, you put a mic in front of me.
Well, yeah, that's right. Well, let's. And I even wanted to ask you how you ended up. I mean, you're talking about playing piano, but you're down here playing bass.
I started playing bass a couple of years ago. I've always wanted to play bass, and I actually bought the bass that I have, an old K, from a guy named Jim Wood, who lives here in Champaign, who's an Eastern Illinois alum.
He taught at Urbana High School for a while.
That's
Is that
correct.
The same Jim Wood?
Jim Wood, yep. Yeah. And I bought the K off of him in about 97 or 98, and I had a cyst on my left wrist. I couldn't play.
Couldn't play the bass.
Didn't bother my piano playing for some reason, but when you try to get in position on the bass, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to sell the bass. I just had this fantasy of learning how to play it, and I held on to it for years, and Jim Cox would give me little secrets about the right-hand technique, and it just took a number of years, and so I picked it up. Things in my hand sort of cleared up in about 2006, and so I started trading lessons with a bass player in Chicago named Dan Thatcher, and was still getting some lessons from Jim Cox. And now I'm also studying on a regular basis with Lauren Cohen, who's Monty Alexander's bass player and a good friend of mine. And it's just great to be able to tap into this. You know, it's just such a beautiful thing to be able to play music at all, and try not to worry about the fact that I'm a little older than a lot of people are when they start to play an instrument, and just enjoy it and work as hard as I can to try to get better.
Well, you've got the ear for it, obviously.
And, that's a lot of work, too.
Yeah, I know it does. I still think of all the ways in which I haven't bothered to train my own ear as a conductor that I really should. But it takes work.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of work. Well, you've obviously done some of it, and we're going to go out with another composition of yours. Is this your next most recent disc?
This was the second CD that I had. This one is also on Origin 082 Records. This one is entitled Genie's Song. And Genie's Song, I should mention real quick.
The CD is called Genie's Song.
The CD is called Genie's Song, and that title is the name of a John Scott composition, who's a Champaign, he still lives around here, composer and trumpet player. And we did Genie's Song, but the tune that I wrote on this that features Brian Wilkie is called The Hardest Part. And this is without, I'm not actually playing on this track.
This is the one you're not on.
That's right.
So we hear Jim Cox and Phil Grateau again, bass and drums respectively, and guitarist Brian Wilkie, who probably some listeners will remember, certainly jazz folks will remember.
They will.
And Tim Green Quartet is at Zorba's in Champaign on Green Street. Oh, and we should point out that I didn't even realize today was Earth Day, but
yes, it is.
You tell me it's Earth Day. Your name is Tim Green. You're playing on Green Street tonight.
And I rode a tandem bike over here today.
And you did. So you get lots of extra credit for Earth Day. 9:30 tonight at Zorba's on Green Street in Champaign, the Tim Green Quartet, with Tim actually playing bass in the quartet. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Pleasure. And this is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Coming up, conversation with regarding the Central Illinois Children's Chorus concert this weekend and this summer's first annual opera camp. That was a tune by Tim Green called The Hardest Part, with bassist Jim Cox, drummer Phil Grateau, and guitarist Brian Wilkie, and all of them with Champaign connections, Tim Green as well. And it's the Tim Green Quartet that's going to be at Zorba's on Green Street in Champaign tonight at 9:30 up until about midnight. And appreciated having Tim on the show. And in just a moment, conversation regarding this weekend's Central Illinois Children's Chorus concert, and also about their summer opera camp, which is going to be the first outing for that venture. Our program today on Live and Local is made possible with support from Columbia Street Roastery, offering over 30 varieties and blends of whole bean or ground coffee at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Coffee, tea, and chai are available from the retail store, in local restaurants, and through Columbia Street Roastery's coffee service. More information is available at 352-9713. So this Saturday, at a new location for the chorus at McKinley Presbyterian Church at 4 o'clock, that's in 5th and John Streets in Champaign, they're giving the 32nd annual spring concert, Central Illinois Children's Chorus. There are four choirs now in the program, and with us is the director of CICC, Charmian Bully, and also with us, Audrey Valance, who is one of the three directors of the opera camp, which is going to be this summer, and that's the first time they're doing that. So we're going to hear about those two events in that order. So thanks to both of you for coming on.
Welcome.
Charmian, 32nd annual.
Yes, we've been around for 32 years, so this is our 32nd.
And you've been involved how many of those 32?
Probably around 25 with the organization. And as its artistic director, probably only 20.
Only 20. That's a pretty good term so far. And you direct two of the choirs.
Actually, I only am directing one this year. I have the youngest group, the Music Makers.
Oh, really? Who's doing the
Anne-Marie Morissette is doing the concert.
Your daughter. I remember that from our last conversation. I had forgotten. Sorry about that. And then the other two are the chamber choir.
Andrea Shoya conducts our chamber choir and our youth chorale.
Which is the newest one.
Which is the newest group. And they are wonderful. Kids whose voices have changed, older girls. We used to keep our age from 6 to 16. Now we take children 5 through high school.
And that's a tribute to the program because that includes kids who wanted to stick around and keep singing with you.
We've had boys whose voices have changed and couldn't sing with the treble ensemble, but really didn't want to leave the organization. So this is a perfect solution for that.
So the youth chorale is about how many singers?
I think there's
roughly
10.
Okay. And more or less even between boys and girls?
A few more girls.
Yeah, the usual thing. But you've got boys in all the other groups. Is it still hard to get boys?
You know, those boys who really love to sing come. And there are some boys who sing well who are self-conscious. But I look at David Kessler, who started out with us as a music maker, and he didn't care if he was the only boy in choir. And he is now in our youth ensemble, and he performs around town in his high school musicals. He's wonderful. And I use David as an example. If they really love to sing, they stay.
You can do some great things. Yeah, David's in just about everything at the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, which is where I've most often met him, and of course worked with him in a program when y'all joined the Prairie Ensemble for Noah's Flood, however many years ago that was by now, I'm not even sure. And well, I know we brought you brought a sample, two samples actually of the choir, three when we come up to the opera conversation, opera part of the conversation. This one is from, oddly enough, last spring's concert, and it's a song called The Last Spring by, do you know who the tune's by? Offhand?
No, I think it's on the...
Is it on the... Oh, there is... You know,
yes.
I could look at the notes. How about that? I'm just looking at the post-it. Where is it here? The Last Spring.
Look
Chamber
on the back
Choir.
Of the album.
I'm there. Oh, this is Edvard Grieg. That Last Spring. Right. Henry Lecq's arrangement with... the pianist Ksenia?
Oh, yes.
Chumachenko?
More or less? Yes, Ksenia was a student of Dr. Michael Hammer, who was our accompanist, and she accompanied that piece
that
last
song.
Year.
It's the Chamber Choir of the Central Illinois Children's Chorus, who are all giving their, all four choirs giving their concert for this spring on Saturday, 4 o'clock in Champaign. The Chamber Choir of the Central Illinois Children's Chorus, Edvard Grieg's The Last Spring, from their spring concert last year, heard on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. That performance, given as most of the previous performances have been, at Faith United Methodist Church, and they're going to be performing this Saturday at, for them, a new location, McKinley Presbyterian Church, which is really quite a wonderful place to hear music, and they do present music of lots of different kinds. And the concert starts at 4 o'clock. And is there an admission charge for that, Charmian?
$5 for adults.
So a nice, affordable admission charge to hear all these young children in four different choirs. And they do get to be quite young. And as Charmian Bully said, she's director of the artistic director, is that what you're calling?
I am the artistic director.
But you're easing yourself out, it seems.
Oh, I'm not.
Not quite yet.
Just taking care of the really
just
young
the
ones. I've been a music
ones.
Educator all my life. And it's been really important to me to keep this organization going. And I've been the one person, actually, who's lived in Champaign. We've had other conductors come and go. So I've maintained the artistic job simply for keeping the group together.
Well, and
we've
how
had some wonderful
is it staying together okay?
I mean, yes, it is.
You guys weathering the economy?
Yes, it is.
Good question for everybody these days.
Yes.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. And Opera Camp. We're going to hear another excerpt from the Youth Chorale in just a moment, but let's start talking about the Opera Camp. How did was this an idea of yours, or did this come from Audrey, who's sitting with you? Or
well, actually, it was the culmination of the two of us. We've tried summer camps before, and she comes with background from the Houston Opera, and had done youth camps there. And so I thought it'd be a great idea to try it here in Champaign.
And Audrey, you're teaching in the local schools, is that right?
I don't teach in the local schools, no, but I have private voice students and in the area. So I've been here about 3.5 years.
And what brought you here?
It was just a change of location. I had a really nice stint with Houston Grand Opera singing in their chorus, and then I was a coach with their summer opera camp 4 years ago, and they did the opera that we're planning to do, The Boy Who Cried Wolf, there, and I proposed this to Charmian and said I think it would be a wonderful opportunity here to do that. This opera is, and I should say that sometimes I think people get the idea of opera, oh no, kids can't sing opera. But it's the style of music. It's you know, a story set to music. It's not grand opera by any means, but very accessible singing for children. And it's based on Aesop Fable, The Boy Who Cried Wolf, and written in the style of a classical composer, Smetana, who was most famous for The Bartered Bride, put together by a couple of people, Michael Jacobson and Danielle Sinclair, who've written several other operas based on classical composers like Mozart and Arthur Sullivan and Rossini, and that. It's very fun, very accessible.
So the when you say it's a story set to music, is it necessarily all sung as opera
it is.
Usually is?
It is, yes. Like most operas, but even, you know, for example, Mozart's Magic Flute is, we think of a grand opera, but it does have speaking parts. This one doesn't, but it's the dialogue is then sung in a recitative style.
Recitative is essentially sung dialogue. It's,
yeah, exactly.
It's recited.
Yeah, recited
music.
Exactly. Similar to Les Misérables too, you know, which is a musical.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and that is all sung.
Yeah.
There might be one or two spoken lines, but I can't even think of any.
I can't either.
So that's basically an opera. It seems like more and more of the quote-unquote musical comedies, although that's hardly comic, are being treated more as opera.
It is.
So it's the two are genres that are coming together. And I just, as a matter of fact, got the Illinois Opera Theater Enthusiasts newsletter, which announces next season for the University of Illinois Opera Program. And they seem to be bringing back the musical because this year they did
South Pacific.
Yes.
And next year they're going to do Man of La Mancha. And so, you know, though the lines are being re-blurred at the, in the opera program here,
which
I think is great myself.
I think so too.
And so the opera camp is the first time around for this. The dates are June 21st through the 25th, and then the following week, the 28th through July 1st. And it's open to grades 3 through 12. You're co-directing with Angela Schneider. This is the same Angela Schneider who teaches at Franklin Middle School?
She used to, yeah. She's retired.
Did she retire?
From there. She did, but yes, that is the one and the same.
And Michael Hammer, who is he's the accompanist for the chorus program
yes,
now, and also music director at, or pianist, organist at
Faith
United Methodist.
Yes.
And if you've seen any of the flyers, or if you do see any of the flyers, or even probably go to their website, the Central Illinois Children's Chorus, they will list a registration deadline of this Saturday, April 24th. And Audrey, you just told me you're extending that to Friday, May 7th.
Yes, yes. We'd like to give people ample time to make their decisions. I initially thought that people made their decisions for summer camps early on, and I've been talking to people, and they said, you know, we still haven't made all of our choices. And I thought, well, okay, let's give them a little bit more time.
I was just getting asked about programs for youth orchestra kids, too. So, yeah, they're still stewing over this stuff.
Right, right.
Probably just trying to get through classes. We have an excerpt from the opera that is going to be on this Saturday's concert.
It's the opening chorus from The Boy Who Cried Wolf.
And this is in rehearsal. Just this week, last week? Right.
We've been rehearsing this spring for it, and it will be staged. The kids have had a very fun time with it, and so this is a rehearsal of it. So it's a not totally ready for, you know, prime time, but pretty close.
Well, let's give a sample. It's a work in progress, in
other
words.
Yes, that's right.
Right. Audrey Valance and Charmian Bully with us here regarding the Central Illinois Children's Chorus here on Live and Local.
Oh,
That was an excerpt from The Boy Who Cried Wolf, written and arranged by Michael Jacobson and Danielle Sinclair, adapted from the music of Bedřich Smetana. And that is going to be the topic or the subject or the subject of the work at this summer's opera camp for the Central Illinois Children's Chorus in June and into the first day of July. If you're interested in participating, the deadline for registration has been extended to May 7th, and you can contact Central Illinois Children's Chorus at office@ciccsings.org, or better yet, just go to their website and you can see all of their activities, ciccsings, that's hard to say, .org. And their concert, spring concert, is this Saturday, 4 o'clock at McKinley Presbyterian Church in Champaign, corner of 5th and John Streets. And a small admission charge for that, 32nd annual spring concert, which is a great milestone. And thanks to Charmian Bully for coming on the show, and Audrey Valance, who's one of the co-directors of the opera camp. Pleasure to have you both on.
Thank you.